Welcome to the news with NDTV. It's Thursday, March 28th. In today's episode, no court relief for jailed Delhi Chief Minister Arvind Kejriwal. Congress versus Congress in two states as infighting over Lok Sabha seats intensify. 600 lawyers seek CJI intervention against vested groups that speak against Indian judiciary. And China and India head towards disengagement. First up, Delhi's Rouse Avenue Court has extended Delhi Chief Minister Arvind Kejriwal's custody till April 1st. Mr. Kejriwal was arrested last week by the Financial Crime Fighting Agency, Enforcement Directorate, on corruption charges in the alleged liquor policy scam. Making his case in the court today, a defiant Mr. Kejriwal said his arrest is a political conspiracy to erase the Aam Aadmi Party, claiming the alleged money trail of the alleged scam will lead to BJP. Speaking against the accused-turned-approver in the case, Sharath Reddy, he claimed, and I quote, "In six interrogations, I am not named. In the seventh round, he takes my name and goes out on bail. While in jail, he also donates rupees 55 crore to BJP. It is all on the record," unquote. Mr. Reddy is a director of Aurobindo Pharma, a Hyderabad-based firm. In a press conference last week, Delhi Minister Atishi cited data released by SBI and said Mr. Reddy donated upwards of rupees 50 crore to BJP via electoral bonds after his arrest. Mr. Kejriwal pointed out, as the Aam Aadmi Party has since his arrest, that no part of the alleged rupees 100 crore in bribes had been recovered. He also said no court had found him guilty. Quote, "I was arrested, but no court has proved me guilty. The CBI has filed 31,000 pages and ED has filed 25,000 pages. Even if you read them together, the question remains, why have I been arrested?" Unquote. Mr. Kejriwal asked the court and also claimed that BJP wants to crush the Aam Aadmi Party. Later outside the court, Mr. Kejriwal told media persons, and I quote, "There are four witness statements against me. Even a pickpocket in Chandni Chowk would not be caught based on such statements. But a sitting chief minister has been arrested," unquote. In another hearing related to Mr. Kejriwal, Delhi High Court has rejected a PIL, seeking his removal from the post of Chief Minister of Delhi. While rejecting the plea, the bench noted the implementation of precedent rule is not under the High Court's purview. Whether such a move is needed or not shall be decided by the executive. Meanwhile, the US has doubled down on its stance on the arrest. After India summoned an American diplomat over their remarks on Mr. Kejriwal's arrest, the US reiterated on Wednesday its call for a fair, transparent, timely legal processes. Quote, "We continue to follow these actions closely, including the arrest of Delhi Chief Minister Arvind Kejriwal," said US State Department spokesperson Matthew Miller while responding to questions on India summoning Gloria Barbena, the US Acting Deputy Chief of Mission in New Delhi. The US also mentioned they're closely monitoring Congress's accusations of frozen bank accounts by the Income Tax Department. Reacting to the fresh US remarks, the MEA said today, quote, "We have already lodged strong protest and objections over the previous comment. Recent remarks are unwarranted," unquote. However, Germany, after a summon from the MEA, has changed tunes and claim it trusts the Indian constitution completely. Earlier, a German spokesperson has said, quote, "Mr. Kejriwal is entitled to fair and impartial trial," unquote. To which the MEA had responded, quote, "We see the comments as interfering in our judicial process and undermining the independence of our judiciary," unquote. Next, it's Congress versus Congress in Karnataka and Maharashtra camps. An internal feud over the choice of candidates in Kolar and Chikkaballapura have erupted in mass protests by party workers, revealing factionalism within the grand old party. First, in Chikkaballapura, it's an insider versus outsider debate. Bagapalli Congress MLA Subba Reddy has written to the party's state president against Raksha Ramaiah's selection from the Chikkaballapur Lok Sabha constituency. Mr. Reddy has recommended veteran leader Virappa Moili and Shivashankar Reddy for the seat. Next, in Kolar, it is a nepotism debate. Since 1991, the constituency was won by K.H. Maniappa, who is now the Food and Civil Supplies Minister in the Siddaramaiah cabinet, and is seeking a ticket for his son-in-law, Chikka Pedana. Now, five legislators from the party, including a minister, have threatened to resign over the former MP from the seat pushing for his son-in-law. Speaking to NDTV, Mr. Maniappa, who is a 7-time MP from Kolar and lost to BJP's Muniswamy in 2019, said he could win the seat again if given the chance, but will abide by the party's leadership decision. Addressing the issue, Chief Minister Siddaramaiah said, quote, "We will have a meeting. I will speak with them. These things are common in politics," unquote. On Wednesday, Congress in Maharashtra faced a rebellion as Sanjay Nirupam and other leaders objected to Shiv Sena UBT releasing a list of 17 candidates, which was seen as a defiance of the alliance Mahavikas Agadi by some. Mr. Nirupam allegedly miffed for not getting a Lok Sabha seat in Mumbai, urged Congress High Command to break the alliance. MVA has Congress, Uddhav Thackeray's Shiv Sena UBT and Sharad Pawar's Nationalist Congress Party. Next, 600 lawyers have requested the Chief Justice of India to take stock of vested groups speaking against Indian judiciary. In a letter, they allege these vested groups are trying to pressure the judiciary and defame the courts, quote, "on the basis of frivolous logic and stale political agendas," unquote. The letter dated March 26th and signed by lawyers including senior advocate Harish Salve and Bar Council of India chairperson Manan Kumar Mishra is titled "Judiciary Under Threat, Safeguarding Judiciary from Political and Professional Pressure." It reads, quote, "Their pressure tactics are most obvious in political cases, particularly those involving political figures accused of corruption. These tactics are damaging to the courts and threaten our democratic fabric," unquote. Without taking names, it attacks some lawyers, claiming they defend politicians by the day and then try to influence judges through the media at night. It further claims, quote, "They have also stooped to the level of comparing our courts to those countries where there is no rule of law and accusing our judicial institutions with unfair practices," unquote. The complainants have not named any cases, but the letter comes at a time when courts are dealing with several high-profile criminal cases of corruption involving opposition leaders. It claims these vested groups insult the judicial process by rumours of bench-fixing and that the judgment is predictable if it goes to a particular bench. They say such rumours can impact the bench's independent decision-making. Opposition parties have accused the central government of targeting their leaders as part of its political vendetta, a charge refuted by the ruling Bharatiya Janata Party. Targeting critics, these lawyers have accused them of suggesting that courts in the past were easier to influence. This shakes the public trust in courts, they said, and urged the Chief Justice of India to intervene in these crucial times. Breaking from breaking news, imagine going to the bank and discovering you have $1 billion and you have no idea where that money came from. The state of South Carolina in USA has collected about $1.8 billion in a bank account over the past decade. And the state and private accountants are still trying to figure out where all the cash came from and where was it supposed to go. Reports suggest it is taxpayer funding, sitting untouched in a bank account where it doesn't belong. The elected officials in charge of managing the state's finances don't know or haven't said where it was supposed to go after it went unaccounted for more than 5 years. From Republican leaders to state accountants, everyone is pointing fingers at one another. Now, back to news. China and India are working towards complete disengagement along the border, the MEA said on Thursday. The countries share a 3,500-kilometer-long border. At the 29th meeting of the Working Mechanism for Consultation and Coordination on India-China Border Affairs in Beijing, the two sides held an in-depth exchange of views on how to achieve the goal and resolve the remaining issues along the line of actual control. An MEA statement said, and I quote, "In the interim, both sides agreed to maintain regular contact through diplomatic and military channels, and on the need to uphold peace and tranquility on the ground in the existing border areas, in accordance with existing bilateral agreements and protocols," unquote. Meanwhile, at an event in Kuala Lumpur, External Affairs Minister S. Jaishankar said that every country wants good relations with its neighbours, but every relationship has to be founded on some basis. He said, and I quote, "We're still negotiating with the Chinese. I talk to my counterpart. We meet from time to time. Our military commanders negotiate with each other, but we are very clear that we had an agreement. There is a line of actual control. We have a tradition of not bringing troops to that line. Both of us have bases some distance away, which is our traditional deployment place, and we want that normalcy, unquote. Indian-Chinese relations have been strained around the Arunachal border for quite some time. Earlier this month, China objected to Prime Minister Narendra Modi inaugurating a tunnel in the Indian state of Arunachal Pradesh. China refers to the region as Zangnan and counts it as part of southern Tibet. Following its objection recently, the US rejected China's, quote, unilateral attempts to advance its territorial claims and said that Arunachal Pradesh was undeniably a part of India. And lastly, some good news for PhD aspirants in India. NET or NET is your key to enter the doctoral field. Instead of multiple entrance exams conducted by various universities for PhD admissions, the University Grants Commission or UGC has declared that scores obtained in the National Eligibility Test or NET will be accepted starting academic season 2024-25. The NET, conducted biannually in June and December, serves the dual purpose of awarding Junior Research Fellowships or JRF and selecting assistant professors among master degree holders. UGC Chairman Mamidala Jagdish Kumar said, quote, from the academic session 2024-25, all universities can use NET scores for admission to PhD programs, replacing the need for separate entrance tests by individual universities or higher educational institutions. The NTA is working on launching NET application process for June 2024 session sometime next week. Unquote. That's all for today. You were listening to the News with NDTV, your daily newspaper and TV bulletin wrapped in a compact podcast. If you want to catch up with the day's events in a hurry, do remember to subscribe to the News with NDTV on Apple, Spotify and the NDTV News app. This is your host Anviti, signing off.